This is Hot Shot Archery's Outdoor Podcast.
The show starts in 3, 2, 1, go.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Hot Shot Archery's Outdoor Podcast. Logan and Robin back with you for another week. Really excited personally to talk to our guest this week. One of my favorite conversations, if not my favorite conversation so far, happened back at the ATA show in January. And this week we have Chris Hamm with HHA with us. Chris, how's everything going?
It's going well. I'm just trying to stay cool in this 90-degree Midwest, soon-to-be July heat. So,
holy cow, so you have the opposite. We're about 70, 75 degrees today here in around the St. Louis area. You guys got all the heat that we've had over the weekend, it sounds like.
Yeah, little jealous right now, but...
So, Chris, if somebody, and I can't imagine anybody would be listening to Hot Shot Archery's Outdoor Podcast and not have any clue who you are, but give us a quick rundown of yourself. Give us an introduction of who Chris Hamm is personally and professionally.
Yeah, I guess we'll start on the professional side first. I mean, I'm one of the owners of HHA, HHA Sports. Most people know us for the Optimizer site. My dad, Harry, who passed away a year ago this Friday, started our company back in 1984. So we're now a second generation. Our founder is gone, but we're still carrying on his legacy. Second generation archery manufacturer. And I do a little bit of sales stuff still. We've got a sales manager now that does that, but I'm the guy that kind of sits back and watches the gauges as far as the financials and the budgeting. I don't have a lot to do with the design work. I do a little bit here and there, but most of that is to my brother. So that's who I am in a nutshell. And people know me in the archery industry as the HHA guy. So, personally, married to my beautiful, awesome wife, Holly, for the last, be 3 years here in September, reside in central Wisconsin. And we just love to volunteer, love to help people out. We'll get into that later in the conversation when we talk about the veterans nonprofit that I started last year. And then on the personal side, when I'm not busy doing nonprofit or for-profit work, I'm a big NASCAR fan, which I know they've kind of come under fire here in the last month with all the craziness going on in this country. But
you have heard a thing or two about NASCAR lately.
Love my sports, and we love going to church on Sundays when they still let us do that. So. But that's Chris Hamm in a nutshell. So
awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Every time I ask you to do an introduction, I think I learn just a little bit more about you, and I always love to learn about people. It's funny, when we were talking about setting up this episode, one of the things that you mentioned was kind of talking about the state of the industry. And Robin and I, last time we got together and recorded an episode, we were kind of talking about the state of pro staffs in the industry. And it's been rather interesting timing for some activities that have gone down. When you mentioned talking about the state of the industry, what's on your mind when it comes to where we're at right now? What are you seeing? What are you feeling through the pandemic, through everything that's been going on?
Yeah, I mean, personally, just looking at within our doors, I mean, HHA is doing very well, other than the fact that, we got shut down for 2 months from March 26th to May 25th. We had our doors closed because of COVID-19. So going into that, I didn't know what it was going to look like coming out the other end. I was a little scared, to be honest, just because, you watch too much news and live on a steady diet of that stuff, and you're going to be singing doom and gloom. But thankfully, even though we weren't able to do any manufacturing, we had to shut our machines down, shut our assembly line down, we were still able to maintain contact with our customers, our dealer database, dealer network through email, through phone calls, and just, ship what little product we did have on the shelves. And then obviously keep in touch with the end consumers through our Instagram and our Facebook feed. So, even though we were shut down, we were still operating as best we could in those 60 days. And when we came out the other side, we had a back order log about three times what we did when we went in. So, that was a huge blessing, and we're just on the backside of that. Our goal was to be caught up by 4th of July, so that we could be ready for the summer rush. We're not quite there yet, but I mean, we've got just an amazing, amazing team of employees. I can't say enough good things about them. And they never get put in the spotlight. They don't get to do podcasts. Most of them don't go to the shows, but it's just like stock car racing. Everybody sees the driver winning in victory lane and doing his donuts, but the good drivers give credit to the crew chief and the guys that change the tires and the guys back at the shop that get the cars running fast. And so, we've been very fortunate to have a great reputation in this industry, and it looks like that is going to continue. And we're super excited about what July, August, September, October has to hold for HHA and the industry as a whole.
Yeah, Robin, I see you kind of nodding your head. There's a lot of similarities, and it even happened back in January. Is I heard Chris talking there about, treating the staff, the company, the people that are behind the scenes, and a lot of that same thing's kind of been going on with Hotshot throughout all of this as well.
Yeah, it's Hotshot is in Utah, so our offices and our shop didn't have to close like perhaps yours did, Chris, but the effects still were there because materials were hard to come by, anodizers weren't working, et cetera, et cetera. So really, it was kind of the same thing for Hotshot. And we also, bad timing, had chosen to try to get a hold of all of the Rogue and knockoff Hotshot products on Amazon, and with the pandemic going on, Amazon pretty much just shut us out and wouldn't even talk to us, and that put a hurting on us. But just like you, now things are getting a little easier, materials are a little easier to come by, and our secondary services that we sub out are easier to come by. So I definitely understand where you're coming from, and I know that Dave White, the owner of Hotshot, would say exactly what you just said about the handful of employees that Hotshot has, that without them, Heidi managing the office and several of the others, that it would never work. And it's just been amazing that so what the people behind the scenes have been able to do to keep Hotshot rolling along while, just like you said, they were heading right into that busy season now, just right thrown on us. It's hard to believe, isn't it, Chris, that here it is practically July, and that was all the way back in January when we last talked.
I know. It seems like it's been longer than that. And that was, I'll echo Logan's comments. I mean, that was a great conversation for me. I mean, you guys know how busy ATA is, and I've always liked Logan, even though we hadn't had a lot of face-to-face, just being friends through social media. And I had a special feeling walking into that room that day, and there was some magic that happened there. And I hope we can rekindle that today. Not that we're sitting here trying to sell anything. We're just sitting around the table having a talk, but I think our industry and our country needs some feel good stuff right now instead of all the garbage that they hear on the news. So I'm hoping that we can bring that to them today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you said that, because Logan started us off mentioning that. And I was also going to mention to our listeners that are listening to this episode that if you didn't hear our first conversation that happened back in January, to really go back in the archives and find that episode, it was also one of my favorite conversations. Great topics. It flowed great. It just is well worth a listen. I've listened to it myself 3 different times, and I hate to hear myself talk, so that should tell you something. Yeah. So if you guys out there haven't heard it, I hope that you go back in our archived episodes and find it.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, one of my favorite conversations. I think just the similarities, the parallel paths that we all seem to have, and the connections that can come. Again, I think last episode, Robin and I were kind of griping at some of the things that both companies and pro staffers have gotten wrong, but there's so much that is going right and that's been done right and continues to do. I mean, even looking, Chris, at you with HHA and the continued growth, the expansion over the last several years, offering new products like the Virtus Aero Rest when that came out, and several different things. And then this year, you were in the process of releasing pretty much a new line with the Tetra line, with kind of your shutdown at the shop, but also the disruption of supply chains. What has that been like for you all to be releasing this new line under the Tetra name and then having to navigate through all of this?
Yeah, it's been, it was challenging. And I mean, 2018 was our best year on record as a company. You know, we were 33 years old, 34 years old at that point. 2018 was our best year ever. We came out with the original Tetra site back then. And I mean, people just loved it. And we hit a home run. And then 2019 came along. I think the industry as a whole was a little soft last year. We didn't do a lot for new stuff. So we had a down year. And then July 3rd of last year, my dad passes away. And it was just like, man, you know, it was kind of like a Rocky movie, you know, when Rocky's up against the ropes and Apollo's just working him over. That's kind of how we felt last year. You know, we won the championship in 18 and we're jumping up and down screaming, "Yo, Adrian." And then 6 months later, our dad and our founder's gone and things aren't looking so hot. So, but through all that, we came out with this new Tetra line. And so we were pumped when we came to ATA. The dealer response was great to it. Unfortunately, I mean, it was almost like we came out with a whole new line of products. It wasn't just one or two items. So it took us a little longer than we would have liked to get shipping. And I think it was actually the second to last day of February is when we shipped our first 2020 product, which that's water under the bridge. But I mean, I wish we'd have been shipping a little bit sooner. But and then 30 days later, boom, we get shut down from COVID. So we just kind of started to hit our stride and start filling the pipeline. And then the doors were locked. So that was frustrating, but at the same time, we were encouraged by the demand that was out there. And like I said earlier, you know, once we got back opened up, the orders were piled up to the ceiling. And after 2 weeks or 2 months of people sitting at home on their couches and social distancing, it was time to get back to work. And our team just responded like I've never seen them before. And we've been shipping product out at a ferocious pace for the last 6 weeks. And, like I said, I'm super excited to see what the summer months are going to bring here, because obviously I'm biased being one of the owners of our company. I've shot an optimizer for 25 years, but I can hands down say that this is the nicest product line top to bottom that we've ever put on the market.
Yeah, I know I'm excited. I have said ever since I got my first Kingpin many years ago, like, I will never shoot another multi-pin sight again. There's absolutely no need for it. And now I've got a multi-pin slider on the way. So I'm excited this year too, when you think about the new products, to be able to try what's been so amazing for me. And I think I've mentioned it in the past. Like, I love the fact that with my HHA Kingpin Tournament Edition, I have never once had to throw a light on it. I don't care if I'm shooting indoor 300 rounds, if I'm shooting 3D. It always cracks me up. And not to say that there aren't other great sights out there, but somebody that's then got to go throw another $100, $150 sight light on their sight to make it work, whether it's hunting or anything. So I'm really excited to try out the multi-pin. Have you all been hearing feedback from anybody that's been shooting it? Because it took me a while to convince myself to say, yeah, I think that's a site that I want to go back to, and I want to try and see if I really just love the single pin, or if I loved it because I love a slider and that was the option that was available. What are you all hearing about that particular head and that setup on the new line?
People are really, really gravitating towards it. I mean, obviously we got shut down for 2 months, so we don't have a real good gauge yet as far as what our final numbers are going to be, but we've, by our own admittance, in the last decade, you know, maybe the last 15 years, we've come out with three or four different multiple pin sites, and they've been okay. I don't want to trash what we've done in the past, but I mean, you learn from your mistakes and you get better as you go, you know, both on the personal and a professional side. So I think that this effort that we came with this year with this new four pin is hands down the nicest one we've done. And I just got one into the hands of actually the club president of the archery shoot that we're doing here in 2 weeks. Just a little funny aside story. I hadn't seen this guy for 25 years. I played high school basketball with him. So the last time I would have seen him was 1992, just to date myself a little bit. And last summer, he shows up at one of my archery shoots, and come to find out, he had gone into the military after high school and is getting ready to retire out of Fort McCoy here in Wisconsin, not too far from the Matthews factory. He's actually retiring as we speak. And he's a hardcore HHA optimizer guy, and he wanted to try a multi-pin, and he put that four pin on it. I just this past weekend at our shoot here in town, and he's not going to pull any punches. And he looked at me, he said, hands down, he said, that's the nicest multiple pin sight I've ever shot.
Awesome. Glad to hear the feedback. I know, again, I'm really excited to give it a whirl, because even though I've always been that guy that I climb up in the stand and I hunt really thick wood, so I'll kind of range some of my open shooting lanes and take an average of that and set my pin and just kind of hold either a little over in the vitals or a little under if I need to. I'm excited to have that possibility of knowing that I've got these pins set at this distance and not have to, and just see again, the sight picture, everything about it. It's been so long since I've tried it that I'm excited to dive in and really check that out. You had mentioned some of the shoots, and I know we've talked about the pandemic already and the impacts to the company, but the other thing that you kind of hinted at in your introduction was HHA USA and what you do through that program. I'd love to have you just remind everybody about that, or for those who this is their first time, tell them a little bit about that. And I'd love to hear how that's been impacted. I know you've been crazy busy. We've gone back and forth trying to schedule this conversation around some of the shoots. I would love to hear more about what that's been like so far this summer.
Yeah, I mean, for your listeners that didn't get a chance to hear that first podcast and a little bit more about what HHA USA is, I can just do a 2-minute overview of that. It's probably been 5 or 6 years ago, I started volunteering for the Never Forgotten Honor Flight, which, for people that aren't familiar with that, it's a nonprofit organization that sends veterans from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam to Washington, D.C. for the day to visit the memorials erected in their honor. So, volunteered for that local chapter here and absolutely fell in love with it, fell in love with the cause. And that led me to start putting on archery shoots for our local chapter. Just with the success that we've had with HHA over the years, I thought I would use that for somebody other than myself, and, hit up a handful of manufacturers, and Hotshot has now been a part of that for a few years. And so we do silent auctions at these shoots, and all the money goes back to Honor Flight. Well, that transpired for 3 years, 17, 18, 19. I think we raised just under $90,000 in 3 years for that organization and gave all that money back to them. It's $500 to send a veteran to D.C. So, I mean, we sent almost a plane's worth of veterans to Washington, D.C. just out of having these archery shoots.
And the shoots that you've had, you mentioned that you've had a handful already just in the last several weeks. Have you all noticed an impact to that with either ranges being shut down or anything? I saw that you raised a pretty significant portion, at least in my eyes, over the course of your last shoot between silent auctions and things like that. How have the shoots themselves, has there been any impact to your fundraising efforts through that this year?
Yeah, a little bit. And I want to just close up before I answer that just a little bit on how HHA USA came to be. So, like I said, 17, 18, 19, we did shoots and I was basically just working as a volunteer for our local chapter. But the more of these I did, I had people coming from other parts of the state saying, hey, would you come down here? Would you come down there? And we've got 6 Honor Flight chapters in the state. So that got me to think, well, maybe I need to have my own fundraising bucket so that way I can be a little bit more mobile with this thing. And I'm not stuck just in central Wisconsin doing it. And at the same time, I'm also very passionate about the 22 veterans a day that commit suicide. So in starting HHA USA, I was able to take our first 22% we raise every year and give that to 3 other organizations that help combat PTSD. So that's been a real blessing to be able to do that and work with Adam LaRoche from the Buck Commander, has been a friend of mine for well over a decade, just a great guy. And he takes veterans on his ranch. So we were able to work with him and then a couple other groups, the Nystedt Foundation and Wounded Warriors in Action, do the same thing as far as getting servicemen and women out hunting and fishing. So that was kind of why I started HHA USA, just so that I could also not only help with Honor Flight, but help that 22 a day number and hopefully get some bows and arrows into some servicemen and women and get them into their hands and help them fight those demons that they come home with from war, unfortunately. So,
It's definitely an amazing thing that you've done.
Go ahead, Logan. Sorry about that.
No, it's an amazing thing that you have done and gotten involved in, and just your passion for giving back to others and your support for some of these groups. I think that was one of the big reasons why when Hotshot had the opportunity, we're all about just, you know, headlong, what do you need? Tell us, we're fully on board with that. It's an amazing organization. I mean, to take somebody who's already so busy with everything that you've got going on and then creating this separate organization so that you can give back even more and be even more supportive. I just think it's such an amazing thing and representative of so many of the people that you don't get to hear about. Like when you were talking about how the pit crews don't get the recognition, the people that are working in the garage to get a car ready for a race and all of this, there's so many great people, even within our industry, that are doing these things. And it really makes me proud to know that I am so closely connected with someone like you who's doing that and have the opportunity to try to help you out where I can and where we can as well.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. And as an organization, we appreciate that. I mean, I just, you know, this isn't something I'm doing so that I can just get on a podcast and talk about it. And I don't want a pat on the back or accolades. I'm just hoping that by me doing this, somebody else will listen to it and say, you know what, I've got a business too. And there's a cause that's on my heart that I could probably do something about. So, I mean, too often in this world, people get selfish and they only do stuff for their own gain. And I mean, you can only have so much money and a nice house, but at the end of the day, it's like, well, what did I do for the guy next door that maybe needs something a little bit more than I do? So that's really kind of my heart behind the whole thing, is just to hopefully inspire some other people to kind of pick up the torch and do the same thing. Now, you know, within our industry, and hopefully after I'm long gone off of this earth. So,
yeah, and it's certainly an interesting time to be talking about things like this and to point out the importance of focusing on it. There's a lot of people who maybe aren't concerned about looking next door and how they can help out. So to be able to have that in a time where, you know, everybody, either for health reasons or for perceived safety or whatever it is kind of clammed up and saying, we're going to take care of our own. It's great to know that there are people like you who are looking to say, how can I help those around me? What else can I do to help support this? I think that, as we were talking earlier before we even hit record, there's a lot of room for a lot more of that in the world right now. And for you to be able to bring that through all the trials and tribulations, it's just such an amazing, amazing thing to be able to give back and to help support these people. So,
no, it doesn't. I mean, it makes me feel good to be able to do that and to be able to use our success for the benefit of others. And I mean, I know we've kind of circled around a little bit here, but I mean, to answer your question, as far as how COVID has impacted our events, we originally were supposed to have 9 events this year, and we backed out of one of them, which is still up in the air whether it's going to happen or not in Wisconsin here at the end of the month. But we still are having 8 on the calendar. We were able to do 3 back in January, February, March before everything hit. And then our April event, I believe that was supposed to be the second weekend in April, that one got canceled because that was when you couldn't have a gathering of more than 10 people. So we just temporarily postponed that one. And that actually worked out well because it's now, that would have been Mission 4. That is actually going to be our last shoot of the year. So we're going to bill that as kind of a preseason tune-up for archery, because it's the 22nd, 23rd of August. So I know, especially out west, some of the seasons are getting started already. Our archery season here in Wisconsin opens up 3 weeks later. I think it's the 12th or 13th of September. So, and then we're really going to kind of let our hair down. I'll clean my basement out of all the silent auction items I've got. So we're going to build that as our biggest auction of the year as well. So I'm excited that one actually got rescheduled. So, but the two events that we have had, we just had one this last weekend, and then we had one, our first post, I don't want to call it post COVID because we're obviously still in the midst of that, but post shutdown was 2 weeks ago in Wausau, Wisconsin, which is about an hour from us. And that actually is where the Honor Flight chapter that I volunteered for is based out of. And we had 142 shooters in 2 days for that event, which I was very happy with. I mean, I think people were just antsy. They wanted to get out of the house. And that event just seems to be kind of growing every year. And this year we actually went to a 2-day deal. So yeah, we had 142 shooters and we raised just over $8,000. So that was a pretty great weekend. I was very, very happy with the results there. And everybody social distance, and you know, they did registration was all outside. It was a beautiful, beautiful weekend in the 60s for late June, which was pretty different than what we had this past weekend when it was 90 degrees. So.
Yeah, and I know we were talking about how, you know, 2018 being, you know, we're on top of the world, 2019 against the ropes. And I feel like maybe for you all, both personally and professionally, there's a little bit of both in 2020, not only coming up on here in just a few days, the anniversary of your father's passing, but that honor flight is something that I know is so near and dear to your heart. How did you feel when you found out that, because I believe what I heard was that those flights were going to be canceled for the remainder of this year. When you found out about that, kind of what was going through your head and your heart as you realized that maybe there are some people who this year was their opportunity and they may not be able to make it to those times when the flights get rescheduled?
Yeah, I mean, that is something that sits heavy on my heart, because obviously those folks are not going to be able to go on the trip. I was actually supposed to go out on our first flight this year in April with my neighbor, who's a Vietnam veteran. I've been a guardian twice on the flight, and I was scheduled to go again this year. And they initially kicked that April one back to, I think, September, October. This was early on. And now I think it's been about 3 weeks. The national chapter basically shut everything down for 2020. And the next flight will go hopefully in 21. So the next time we fly, I'll be going out there again. But yeah, I mean, it is unfortunate. I mean, even take COVID out of the mix. I mean, you hear stories of guys that were signed up to go, and you know, I think all the chapters do a good job of getting those that are the older generation, you know, the World War II guys to Korea, and then anybody that is from Vietnam that's in a terminal health situation, they send them first. But sadly, some of them just never make it. And I'm usually not one that's short for words, but I don't know how to put that into words as far as, I mean, obviously it's something I'm sad about. There are some that were on the list this year that unfortunately are not going to get to go. So.
Yeah. I was just kind of sitting here listening, and Logan's kind of looking at me like, dude, you're going to say anything? But I just kind of taken that in, and it is like, what do any one of the three of us say to that other than, It's really a bummer. I mean, what else could you say? Because that the result of that is going to be exactly what you said. Some people are not going to get their chance to go. And, you know, we've avoided, when I say we, I'm talking about Logan and I on our podcast, we've really avoided much discussion about COVID other than acknowledging it as the elephant in the room. And we haven't really talked much about it because it just touches too many you know, emotions different for different people, and it's such a wide range of opinions on it. But no matter how serious or not serious anyone that's listening takes it or thinks it is, here is a stark reality, a byproduct of the COVID crisis is something as simple as a veteran who has been looking forward to this. There's going to be a number of them that won't make it to the next go round, and that is a shame.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing, and I think this is something that I want to focus on more going forward with HHA USA. I mean, I've had, since our social media has kind of taken off a little bit in the last 6 months, and we're promoting more, you know, what we're doing at these events and the impact we're having. I have people asking us, hey, when are you coming to Texas? When can you come to Florida? And, right now, unfortunately, I only have my nonprofit in Wisconsin, so I'm not mobile yet. But I mean, my 5-10 year plan, I mean, who knows where this thing is going to go? It might be like the honor flight. I might have 150 chapters of HHA USA at some point. I just, you know, God knows, I don't know that, but I'm willing to take it wherever he wants me to take it. But that said, one thing that I've really wanted to focus on is how can the other people that are HHA fans, that are HHA USA followers, how can they express gratitude to our veterans? And that's free. I mean, yeah, if you're in Wisconsin or one of the neighboring states, you can come to one of our shoots and you can shoot some arrows, you can bid on some auction items, or you can go on our website and you can give us a donation. But if you don't want to do that, next time you go into Walmart, instead of just walking by that veteran stand and, you know, pulling a pizza out of the freezer, why don't you take 2 minutes out of your day and thank him for his service? That didn't cost you anything but 2 minutes of your time.
My issue is that is I would start with this is going to be 2 minutes thanking you for your service. And then I would want to dive into tell me all about your story, lay it on me, give me your background. I want to hear the whole history of everything. Tell me about your perspective on this. And then the poor man probably wouldn't get to eat his dinner that evening.
Yeah. And I've been doing this for probably 3 years now. My wife and I are huge Dairy Queen fans. So we kind of our heart for the whole volunteering and giving back thing. Dairy Queen does Miracle Treat Day. So we go down there and buy a couple dozen coupons for blizzards. And then that money goes, I think they send a buck of every one of those back to the Children's Miracle Network every year. So we're helping them out. But then I keep those in my truck and I keep about a half dozen of them in my wallet. So every time I approach a veteran and thank him for his service before we part, whether it's a 2 minute conversation or a 20 minute conversation, I'll ask him if he likes ice cream. And I don't think I've ever had anybody turn me down. So I've probably given out about 50 or 60 free blizzards in the last 3 years since I started doing that. So
that's awesome. You mentioned people being able to give back. And I know a lot of your shoots are in central Wisconsin. What about those people who are listening? I've been shocked by some of the corners of the world that our listeners come from, but those people who want to help out, they want to also support the cause. They want to support the people behind the cause. How could, let's say myself sitting here in St. Louis, take out my platform of being able to have a podcast where people can hear about it. How could somebody like me get involved, be able to support either on a personal or even a professional as their company? They might be thinking, you know, either they're up at a high level in a company or they own a small business. How can people help out from afar right now, since there isn't the mobility of being able to bring shoots to Texas and Florida and all over the country?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, aside from, you know, monetary donations, which that's going to go through our formula. So, I mean, the first 22% comes off the top, goes to our other three veterans organizations, and we're going to use that money to mobilize vets from Wisconsin and get them out into other states or within the state on hunting and fishing trips. I mean, that's an option. We're always looking for product donations. I mean, thankfully, you know, it wasn't like I started this up and had an 8-to-5 day job working at a auto parts store. And then I'm trying to hop into the archery side of things. I've got so many connections in the archery industry, you know, you guys included, that I've been able to knock on a lot of doors of people I know. So I've got a pretty impressive selection of silent auction items already, but it's not like we're not looking for more, wouldn't take more. So, I mean, if people have businesses where they think, oh man, that would be something that would go at an archery shoot on an auction, we're always looking for that stuff as well. And then one thing too, and I haven't even put this out there yet, I've kind of got to probably have to feel this out with my attorneys a little bit and see how that would work. But I mean, if a local archery club in Utah wants to host a shoot for us and, hey, this is our HHA USA shoot that we're going to do this year, and you guys raise $5,000. Well, we're going to keep $2,500 to pay for our target butts and to help our club out. But we love HHA and we love HHA USA and what they're doing. So we're going to send that donation off to those guys. So, I mean, that's something that I don't know if, and I probably should have bounced this guy off you guys before I was even on air, but I don't know if something like that has any merit. If that's the case, you know, that would be another option where clubs anywhere in the 50 states could hold archery shoots for us. I just know, just in our small, you know, 120 mile radius here, the popularity of how these shoots have grown there, you know, there's more and more people showing up all the time. Cause I mean, archers and outdoorsmen love our veterans. And so they hear a veterans shoot and they put it on their calendar and they're going to make sure that they can be there. So, I mean, that's another option as well that, like I said, I have to explore a little further. But I think if people are willing to raise money for the cause, that's an option as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you bring up some great points that I don't know if everybody necessarily realizes in a format like that is they might want to help support. They may want to do these shoots, but it's not, you know, a super quick, simple process to get your nonprofit set up and have all this. So if they wanted to be involved but didn't want to have to go through all the paperwork and the legalese to get it all set up and functioning, that would be a great option for, you know, these archery clubs who are looking. And how many archery clubs aren't, you know, really struggling for additional membership for shooters to find new and exciting ways to get people to come in, to be able to maybe get involved with something like that, to co-op and partner together and say, we're going to do this to help you. And it helps us at the same time. And it just, everybody goes back to that whole working together, looking out for your neighbor. How can I support you? How can you support me? What can we do to make everybody great together? Where would somebody go? And normally this happens at the end of a show. We're like, oh, plug your stuff and then let's get out of here so we can get on about our days. But since we're talking about it right now, how would somebody who is listening right now, who's thinking, man, I'd really love to get my club involved in this, or, you know, I really want to step in, how do they get in touch with you or with HHA USA to figure out what they would need to do to help support the organization?
Yeah, we've got, you know, our website, HHAUSA.org, has got all that info on it. So, I mean, my contact info is on there. We don't have paid employees. You're talking to the guy that's running the show. And my wife is an absolute saint. She helps me so much behind the scenes. She doesn't come to a lot of the events, but she helps me, balance out the spreadsheets at the end of the day as far as making sure we got all the money that we're supposed to have and getting the door prizes and silent auction stuff ready. So, but yeah, I'm the primary point of contact on there. So there's an email to get to me, and that's actually my personal cell number. So anybody that goes to HHAUSA.org can contact me directly there or message me through Instagram or Facebook, because I'm running both of our social media pages there as well. So.
Excellent. And I think hopefully we will see an uptick. I know that the whole purpose wasn't just to say, hey, come in here and let's see what we can do to try to inflate your numbers. It just happens to be something that we all care very deeply for and are passionate about. So anything that I can do to help out, to drive people towards there. I mean, I've made a career of having to ask for the money, so I'm not afraid to ask people to step up. And I mean, just the craziness that happens to be 2020 and saying we're asking for money if you can support. I think that's the other important aspect, is you've never once mentioned anything about people really should be supporting this. It's if you can give back, if you have the ability, because at some point in time, you know, I think we've all seen in our lives where you get what you give. And so many times we hear about you get so much more than you give. This is a wonderful opportunity, but again, only if somebody could. You're not asking them to dip into their food budget that might take food off the table, or they can't get their medicine this month because they donated to this other organization. I would like to remind everybody to really take a look deep inside and say, can I help support? And if you can, if you're in a position to, it's a wonderfully great thing to be able to help give that support to.
Yeah. And I mean, I run my for-profit business the same way that I run my nonprofit. I mean, I was never one to be the guy that had to do the hard close on the sale. I mean, if people wanted to buy my product, great, but I wasn't going to chase them down the aisles at the ATA show and make sure that they wrote their order on the spot to get their extra 5%. I knew that our product sold itself. And if they wanted it, they were going to buy it. And if they didn't, they wouldn't. So I don't know, if, other than coming on a podcast, I don't know how much I've actually mentioned our donation page to anybody on HHA USA, just because right now this is kind of grassroots. We're just getting started with this thing. But I have a feeling that in the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to potentially could see other chapters of this stuff pop up around the country. Because I mean, there's going to be somebody that is going to be touched by what we're doing. And they're going to say, I've got some free time on my hands. I want to do this out in Utah, or I want to do this in Michigan. So, I mean, those people are out there, and we're going to find each other at some point. And my mission right now is just to do everything in the state of Wisconsin as well as I can, get the bugs out of it and have a portable, I don't want to call it a traveling circus, because that brings to mind some maybe not so good stuff as far as carny workers and things like that. But I basically want to have a model that people are like, yes, I want this here. I want this here. So that's kind of where I'm at right now as far as my current state with HHA USA and where I think it could go.
Yeah, when we had our discussion at ATA in January, I really left there just in my mind, and I don't even think that I talked to Logan about this specifically, but just in my mind, I thought to myself that this is going to grow and people are going to be coming to Chris saying, how can I be a chapter and can you help me do it? And I want to do this in Missouri or Utah or Florida or wherever it might be. And so you brought that up a few minutes ago, Chris. And while us three that are on the line now haven't talked to each other about that, I can say this for me personally, I figured that that is where you would end up with it, Chris, just knowing how passionate you are and being able to see that and feel it. And I can just tell that people are going to pick up on that and want to be a part of it and reach out to you and say, okay, I want to do this, so can you help me do it? And so I think that is going to be viable for you if, like you said, you probably should be talking to your lawyers, blah, blah, blah. But I think that the concept is brilliant and perfect and is just exactly what is there for the taking. And I hope that it does continue to grow and that it does translate into something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I've got, you know, if I didn't have my HHA job, if I was just doing this nonprofit thing full time, I've got, and I've never sat down and came up with a short list, but I could easily come up with probably 12 to 24 people in my contact list that I would say, yep, that guy would do it. That guy would do it. That guy would definitely do it. And that's without even putting out a job opening that, hey, we're looking for a state coordinator in Maine to run an HHA USA chapter. So, I mean, I think over time, this thing is really going to grow. And one of the fun things for me through this, and I know we talked a little bit about just the participation in the archery clubs. I mean, I think of our hometown club where we had our shoot last weekend. When I was 10 or 12 years old, right, when my dad started our business, we had 160, 170 members in our club. This year they had 65. I mean, that kind of tells you the state of the archery clubs. And I don't think that they're all like that, but I mean, just in traveling around and doing these shoots in the last 3 or 4 years, I've seen that. And that makes me sad. I don't like that. I want to see more people coming into those archery clubs. And so and I'm getting off on a little bit of a rabbit trail here, but HHA has partnered with S3DA, which is just an awesome organization. And I've seen more and more S3DA teams and clubs popping up around Wisconsin and coming to our shoots. So I think there's even though HHA USA started out and it's always going to be a veterans organization, I think there's an opportunity to bring people around this cause to grow our sport.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked even before we hit record, just the state of the industry, the state of archery as a recreational hobby, as a career for some. Yeah, I think we all have a responsibility to figure out what we can do. And we've all seen the same thing with numbers. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, looking at numbers of dealers, if it's looking at archery clubs. I mean, it's impossible around the St. Louis area, at least I should say St. Louis area, and give this big of a range. But where I'm at, I'm driving at least 2 hours to try to find a relatively decent 3D archery shoot. And it's tough when it's at a recreational level and you're seeing fewer and fewer people show up. And I think the reason you have to travel further and further is because more and more people are falling out, or the people that have the clubs are realizing it's a whole lot of work and there's not a whole lot of support. People aren't necessarily willing to pay a whole lot of money to come shoot at some foam animals in given situations unless there's some sort of reward on the line. We've seen a lot of kind of that deterioration. Even the indoor club that I belong to, COVID pretty much wiped out any possibility of doing a 3D shoot based on the property that they had access to. But I've struggled to even be able to get a good winter 300 five spot league going in the last couple of years. There's just so much falling out. I know we've talked about HHA USA and we can even keep it in that vein, but what do you see as maybe some solutions? I think too often we talk about the problems without throwing out some ideas because we're afraid our ideas might be really dumb ideas. You mentioned groups like S3DA. How can we get more people engaged? What do you see from your perspective as an industry insider that can help re-engage and stoke the flames of popularity of archery in general, not just amongst service members and veterans?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, we mentioned S3DA, and I mean, there's other organizations that HHA partners with on a corporate side, be it, you know, Whitetails Unlimited, QDMA, Rocky Mountain Elk, Pope and Young Club. They're all kind of doing their own thing to bring the next generation into the sport, and that's awesome. But I think it's really, you're really going to see the movement when people like myself and companies like ourselves do something on the back end to help them push the train. I mean, it's going to take more than us just cutting them a check every year and saying, yep, we'll be a sponsor again. We'll see you guys next year. That's great. They need that, but they need boots on the ground to help them push the train up the hill, or we're not going to see those numbers increase.
Yeah, I definitely see a byproduct of HHA USA and the shoots that you're putting on. It's generating archery interest based on some other great purpose, and any interest generated is a positive right now. Like Logan said, like you've said, I don't know factually, but I can say that it's probably a pretty good statement to say that anywhere in the country that archery clubs and archery shoots in general are down. And I'm not talking about highly competitive shoots. I'm talking about the weekend shoot that me and Logan in our area, you could have went any direction and drove 30 minutes and found a shoot on any given weekend. That just doesn't happen anymore. And so the numbers that you're generating up there at your shoots are fantastic. And, you know, if chapters start materializing and the promotion of archery is a byproduct of that, that's awesome. And it's just big circle, isn't it? Because you're doing something you're passionate about, Hotshots donating to your shoots. And we do that because we think it's a great purpose of the shoots. It's a great platform. But of course, Hotshot wants to be recognized as affiliated with that. We want archers to recognize our name. I mean, I'm not going to hide that fact. That isn't the root of why we're doing it, but it's just a big circle and it keeps on going. And we talked about the state of the archery industry, but it's just archery. And I think, you know, you talked about the numbers that have dropped comparatively speaking in your clubs. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about the sport of archery, people shooting, or the archery industry. It's all one and the same.
No, I agree. And I mean, if there's ever been, not to bring up the C word again, but I mean, with this whole COVID crisis, I mean, if there's ever been a time in our industry that all of us manufacturers need to start beating the drum for new participants, it's now. Because I mean, people, granted, the shutdowns are pretty much over, but I mean, I had one of my employees that wanted to go buy a kayak, and he didn't want to spend an arm and a leg on one, so he decided to go to Dunham's. They were getting 72 kayaks in on a Tuesday or Wednesday morning. He got off of work at 5. By the time he got there, they had 12 left. So, I mean, people are wanting to get outside and do stuff. And then same thing with our bike shop in town. I graduated from high school with the guy that owns our local bike shop. And that same employee went down there to pick up we buy a ball bearing from them for one of our sites. And he went in there and he said it looked like a going out of business sale. The guy had no bike inventory. So, I mean, people are wanting to get outside and get active. So that's great that they want to buy kayaks and bikes, but why not get them into bows and arrows?
Yeah, exactly. And, Logan knows, you may not really know Chris, but I run the Hotshot Archery Pro Staff, and I have for years, and I make a requirement of staff participation to be promotion of archery and bow hunting equally as much as promotion of Hotshot as a company. And so during this slow time where, you know, even some archery seasons or hunting season in the spring were getting canceled and shoots were getting canceled, Logan and I were constantly preaching to our staff, you might not be able to do anything yourself right now, but we can all still be promoting archery. Go in your backyard, take a picture of you with your bow. And we just tried to keep that pressure on everyone for just the pure promotion of archery. And it all comes back to just what we've been talking about, just trying to keep an interest and that momentum of interest going while people are looking for things to do.
Yeah, because, I mean, without the next generation, we're not going to have a sports. I mean, that's why I'm so fired up about what F3DA is doing. I mean, I've got nieces and nephews that'll travel to other states to play softball on the weekends, which is awesome. But I love seeing, you know, mom and dad come with their painted up shirts on advertising their local F3DA club, and they've got two kids in tow with them. I mean, there's nothing that makes me happier other than seeing veterans walk in at our shoots and seeing a group of, you know, a whole family shooting together. I think that's just awesome. And I mean, sometimes it's the kids getting mom and dad, and sometimes it's the other way around. But the bottom line is it's a great sport for the family. It's affordable, and it, you know, they don't even have to hunt. As much as I like to hunt, I mean, there's a lot of people that just get into the sport for the exercise and to get outside and to have some fun. So.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I absolutely love the target side. I'm more of an indoor person. I have found at Metropolis, well, London, with the change up in schedules, the ASA event just happened. I had some memories pop up of some pictures from Metropolis a few years ago and just how hot and miserable and everything that sometimes it can be when you're trying to shoot at some of the higher levels of things. And there are times where you can put pressure on yourself and it's not a whole lot of fun. And I would encourage anybody who's thinking about getting into it, you know, it's awesome to go see that many shooters in one place, but there's a lot of aggravations to it. I would, like you said, as much as I love hunting, I mean, bow hunting is definitely my passion. I get just as excited for indoor archery season to come around. That's where I'm learning about my form. And that's where I get excited when you see the youth and the Cubs divisions and you see all the people in there. I think a lot of people need to realize, too, it doesn't have to be necessarily where you go out and you've got to shoot during the middle of summer and you've got to make yourself maybe physically miserable if you can't deal with that. There are opportunities if we can continue to grow this sport. These indoor ranges will help stay open. And the way I look at it is there are a few companies that I choose to represent officially, and I will try to highlight those products in my actions. But if people see pictures of me at a shoot or just out shooting or doing some sort of work on my bow, maybe they're not going to buy that sight or that release or that set of stabilizers from that particular manufacturer or that bow. But if they're buying something and they're getting into it and they're excited about it and they're sharing with their friends, it can only help all of us. And I know one of the things at this past ATA, when I wasn't in one of the meeting rooms doing so many podcast episodes, a lot of what I was hearing was even attendance at the show, but attendance at shoots for people, the number of people coming through a dealer's doors. I think anything that we can do to help grow the sport overall, even if it's not a direct sale of one of our products, at least it's a sale of an archery product. And I certainly didn't start off shooting hotshot releases and HHA sights. I mean, I grew into it by getting the cheap items, by doing whatever my budget could afford, and then realizing that as I could afford to get what was the best for me, I think anything that we can do to just help push the overall involvement. You hear a lot about the three R's and just hunting and being outdoors in general and S3DA. If we're all doing our part instead of worrying about, did I push my product hard enough? And is my particular number growing? Yes, it's important as a business. You need to have a plan in place that allows you to stay profitable and to provide the top quality components and customer service to the people who are purchasing your products. But just overall, I think a lot of people miss the impact of just showing them doing some form of archery, showing the different aspects of it so that people don't have to wonder about it. If they've never really seen archery before, and maybe your pictures happen to be their image of archery, and there's so much more that goes into it than just the tree stand selfies and the sunrise selfies. And I take absolutely plenty of those because I don't miss an opportunity to bow hunt. But there's so much more to it that people could get involved in that they can see the fun. I mean, there are ways that you could certainly do a shoot with social distancing, whether it's 3D or whether it's indoors. There are ways that no matter what we need to do to create this, I feel like everyone across the industry could maybe do a better job of promoting the sport and not just the one particular business.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I mean, my answer will probably be a lot shorter than yours, but I mean, long story short, promote the sport first and the business will come.
Yeah, if you don't have people participating in the sport, it's going to be really hard to find business. And when that number continues to shrink, the pool of available customers grows even smaller and market share is that much harder. And I mean, I have not yet seen, but I'm almost hating to see the data that comes out that some of these businesses that have had to shut down, some of the great, what might be mom and pop type shops and dealerships that have kind of had to board things up because people aren't getting involved. So whether it's podcasts like this or any other outdoor podcast or what you all are doing on social media, I mean, so many of the pictures that I see, whether it's from the HHA USA page or just the HHA page, it's not just the grip and grin, look at the massive deer or look at this animal that was taken. It's really trying to promote that. And I love that you all are pushing so much to help grow the sport. To that end, I know you do a lot of 3D shoots. Any thoughts on adding, or maybe you already do, and I'm just showing my ignorance here, some indoor tournaments as we get closer to fall and into winter to continue to be able to provide that support to grow the organization and maybe eventually achieve that 3 to 5 year dream?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, we do so our first four events, the one that got rescheduled will also be a kind of a combo indoor outdoor now that it's in August, but our January, February, March events, we're all indoor. The first one was a club up in Anago, Wisconsin. It was our first year doing a shoot there. And it's probably at the tip of our demographic, at least as far as reaching people, because they're a little bit out on an island. But I talked with the guys at the club afterwards, because we didn't have a huge attendance the first year, but they're about as north in northern Wisconsin as you can get as far as having a shoot. And they've got a beautiful club. It's only about 25 years old. They've got an indoor 40-yard range. And so we actually did a 2-day shoot there. Day one was spots and day two was 3D. So we just flipped it. And then we were going to originally do that same thing with our April event with Mission 4, but now that it's going to be the last event of our year, that end of August there, they're going to do 14 3D targets inside, and they have a small outdoor course. They only have 14 outside. So they're going to do 14 in, 14 out, but that was originally scheduled to be a spots one day, 3D the next. And then our March event actually at our local dealer, he's about 20 minutes up the road. He didn't talking about youth. He does an amazing job with kids, but that was strictly an indoor 300 round 3-day shoot there at his place. So we're trying to hit both markets if we can. So, cause there's a lot of guys that do both, and gals, I should say.
Sure. Do you notice a difference at all in attendance? Is there one that's maybe more popular than others? If I had to put money on it, I'd probably say turnout at 3D shoots might be a bit higher, but have you noticed a trend for one way or the other?
I mean, we this is the first year that we did that January event, so that's the only one that we've really done both. The indoor 300 shoot that we've done the last 4 years now, I mean, that one's always very well attended. That gentleman at that shop, Bucks and Bulls Archery, Stevens Point, he's got a big following. He's got a lot of kids that he coaches. So, I mean, he's taken kids from the time they're 4 or 5 years old and coaching them on right up through high school. He's got some national champs coming out of his shop. So that's kind of a... maybe not the norm around here. But yeah, all in all, our stuff is more kind of catered to the 3D and the hunting market. And the shoot that we're doing this weekend, I'm super excited about. Not that I want to play favorites with any of our clubs. I mean, I love every one of them the same, but the gentleman that actually is the president of this club is a Vietnam veteran. And we have a mutual friend. And when our mutual friend told him about what we were doing, he said, well, is there any chance that Chris would want to partner with us on our 4th of July shoot? And like I said earlier, I mean, we had 89 people this last weekend. 2 weeks ago, we had 142. So, I mean, if I get 150 people in a weekend, that's a big shoot for me. But this shoot that we're going to this weekend that we're co-sponsoring is going to be somewhere between 400 and maybe even 500 shooters this weekend for 3 days.
Wow, that is a big shoot, especially, again, for a charitable organization. When you think about some of the big pro organizations that are out there, I mean, you might have You know, I've shot certainly at times with almost 300 people in my shooting class, but for something that is a mostly local regional type shoot, I mean, those are absolutely impressive numbers. So you're doing a great job with getting the word out, getting people excited about attending. I'm sure as we get closer to bow season, we're 77 days away here in Missouri, not that I'm counting or anything. But as we get closer, I can only imagine that those attendance numbers continue to rise. And as people continue to hear about it, I think one of the things that's really hard to do within the industry is anything consistently. You've got to do it for a period of time and show that you're there and show that you're serious about being there. So I'm excited to see how the organization continues to grow and how you approach your 5-year dream of potentially having those. I mean, I know I'm no lawyer to talk about it. I do have a Facebook account. So I think to about 80% or so of the country, that applies to being a legal expert these days.
To talk about that day.
That's a low number, I think.
Yeah, I was trying to be relatively conservative on that particular number. I'd love to pull a Monty Python, and now it's time for something completely different, if I can.
Yeah, and I want to just touch one thing on that last shoot. We can't take any credit or very minimal credit for those numbers because of us partnering with them. Because, I mean, this is a new thing. This is the first time HHA USA is ever going there. But this particular club does 3 shoots every year. They do Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day weekend, and they typically bring in around 1,000 shooters collectively for those 3 weekends. And so we're essentially riding on their coattails. So I was very humbled by the opportunity that they wanted to partner with us. And so there's going to be a lot of people coming to that shoot that don't know what HHA USA is. So we're really going to get a chance to shine this weekend with our silent auctions. And I just talked to the president yesterday. As of yesterday morning, we weren't going to have a long shot, but now we're going to have a 75-yard long shot at this shoot. I'm giving away a Matthews Tri-X bow and a Reconyx camera, one of our new Tetra sites. We're going to have about $2,500 worth of prizes that folks can win on this long shot. And none of the attendees even know about it yet. So it's going to be pretty fun to have them come in and kind of have that, Santa Claus Christmas Day morning. Oh, look what just came under the tree. So I'm pretty fired up. We've got local radio coming out of Green Bay to interview us. And I'm actually doing another podcast on Friday, live right from the show with the Bucks of America podcast guys. And Breaking Point TV is one of our new TV partnerships here in Wisconsin. Those guys are coming to shoot with us and do some filming. So, I mean, I'm excited to help put a spotlight on these guys. Cause I mean, they've got a great shoot. They've been doing it for decades. But they don't have, and no offense to them, but I think they know it. They don't promote the shoot the way that I would promote the shoot. So I'm hoping in 5 years' time, we can be getting on this podcast and saying, man, we just did the 4th of July shoot. We had 1,000 people this weekend. Remember back in 2020 when we had 450. So I'm excited to see the partnership of, in my opinion, what one of the nicest 3D clubs in our state. It's got a river that runs through it. There's shots across the water. They've got a Sasquatch target. I mean, it's cool. I just get excited every time I go to the place because I love shooting it. And I'm excited for this marriage between our club and HHA USA to see what the future holds for both of us.
Heck yeah, I'm excited to see the pictures. I know you always post a lot of pictures of the shoots, and it sounds incredible. We don't have anything like that here in the area, so I'm excited to see that. And really, my shifting gears to something totally different apparently isn't something totally different, because it was really about 4th of July. And obviously this year, with 4th falling on a Saturday, you're going to be at the shoot. But how does the Ham family celebrate 4th of July on a normal year?
Normally, on my wife's side, her family has a family farm about 5 minutes, 10 minutes north of my family farm where I do all my hunting at, and they usually have a get together there. But with everything going on, they just decided they were going to kind of put the kibosh on it for this year. One of our relatives had to have some surgery. So that's not happening this year. But otherwise we would normally go attend that, you know, and have a barbecue and then head down to the river for our local fireworks. That's kind of our deal. And then, traditionally I would always watch I guess it used to be the Colt 400 was the 4th of July race at Daytona, but that got jumbled up this year. And I think they're at the Brickyard on Sunday. So I'll be recording that on the DVR, not going on Facebook, while the shoot's wrapping up, and I'll come home and hopefully I won't fall asleep like I did on Saturday night at the end of the race when I got back from the last shoot. So that's my 4th of July weekend.
Awesome. Robin, how about you? Any big plans? What do you normally do on the 4th?
We usually, my kids come over and it's the usual cook me something good, Dad. And so I usually cook something, meat, of course. And the kids, I say kids, they're grown now, but they're still kids. They're outside doing their thing with fireworks. And that's just been going on so long that really my kids just like to come over and be at my house and eat the food that Dad cooked. And then, of course, they have other expanded families. And so the evenings is usually they're gone and I'm relaxing. That's pretty much it for me.
Guys, that sounds like a pretty good 4th of July. I've got a little combination of both. I think we tend to be a little bit closer to what, Chris, you might be used to. We head up to the family farm where I do pretty much all of my deer hunting and most of my turkey hunting and hanging out and relaxing. I live in a community that does not allow the shooting of fireworks. So we are going to pack up the truck, load up a bunch of fireworks, load up some ribs and some pork steaks, and head up to the family farm for the weekend and just relax, swim in the pond, maybe do some fishing. Who knows? I definitely have some trail cameras that I want to get moved around and put out and check on the food plots. But we're planning on just going up, barbecuing, sitting in the shade and blowing some stuff up, probably both Friday and Saturday night, and looking at cool, sparkly stuff go off and remember really what the holiday is all about. And I can't help, the sentimental side of me always feels like when I start to see and hear the fireworks go off, trying to think about what it must have been like to be somebody who, you know, when they heard those noises, it wasn't something pretty that's up in the sky that everybody wants to look up to, and remembering those people. And I think it's a great tie-in to, you know, just talking about HHA USA and the support that Hotshot also has for veterans and veterans groups, and just how important it is not to forget about those. So we're going to have some excitement. I'm sure we're going to have plenty of cold adult beverages and try our best to remember again what the holiday was all about and why we even celebrate it.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be spending my whole weekend at an archery club raising money for our veterans, but I wouldn't have that opportunity if it wasn't for the men and women of our service that, you know, some of them paid the ultimate price and didn't come home or came home in a box, unfortunately. I mean, that this gets overlooked too often, in my opinion. I mean, people take too many things for granted and they just live 90 miles an hour and they don't stop to realize why they have what they have. So, I'm very thankful for our veterans and for the freedoms that we have in this country. And that I'm able to run a kick butt archery organization that has had a huge following over the years, and we continue to add fans, and now a lot of those people are coming over on our for-profit side and supporting us there. So just very, very humbled and very blessed by our success. And actually today just literally picked up the June copy of Inside Archery that we got interviewed for, myself, my brother, and Scott Bach, and our sales manager. And it's pretty cool picture of myself and my dad and my brother Grace on the cover of it, and Inside Archery doll and HHA green. And it's like, wow, I don't know if it's the fact that, you know, it's been almost a year since my dad passed, but I find myself kind of trying to slow down a little bit and reflect really on the impact that we've had on this industry and all the relationships that we've built and just how fortunate and how blessed we are to be where we are. So I'll be sharing that article on my personal Facebook page here. Probably on Friday. I want to do that on the day of my dad's passing, just to kind of commemorate him. He would surely be proud to see how we've handled this last year. It hasn't been easy at times, but he was a fighter, and he definitely passed that on to both of his sons and his wife and his daughter and the rest of the Ham family that doesn't share the Ham name that is Team HHA. So again, we're super, super blessed, and just I appreciate the opportunity of you guys to come on here and talk with me again. It's been a lot of fun, and hopefully we can circle the wagons again maybe in October before the hunting gets too serious, and we can have a season wrap up and talk about how HHA USA went, and Maybe by that time I can throw you guys out a few teasers as far as 2021 products and whet your appetite for that. So.
Heck yeah, absolutely would be looking forward to that. And I know, knowing you the way that I do, it won't just be reflecting on the past, but also having that eye on the future and what those next steps and next stages are, so that the legacy continues on and isn't just always something that used to be. I know you gave us a great recap of what you've got coming up this weekend and what's been on your mind. We do something at the end of our episodes called Parting Shots, where it's your chance to talk about anything, even if it has nothing to do with anything at all that we've talked about over the course of the last hour or so. So, Chris, any parting shots, any final words of wisdom or anything that you want to share with the Hotshot Archery Outdoor Podcast group?
I totally forgot that that's what you guys do on these things, isn't it?
Sometimes. We try to find a spot to put you on the spot every once in a while.
Yep, and you did. So I'm sitting here frantically searching through my phone for some notes on a pretty cool book that I just got done reading, or that I'm in the middle of reading. It was funny, when the whole shutdown started, I felt a little bit of, I don't want to say unease, but I just felt like I was really going to go through a personal and maybe a faith-based growth spurt through this whole COVID thing. And literally a week later, this lady she's a personal coach here in town, started a private group on Facebook called Stronger Mindset. And it was a book by a guy named Tom Ziegler called Choose to Win. And I mean, I've, in the last 4 or 5 years, after my dad, his health went downhill and he was no longer able to have a leadership role in our company. I had shouldered that for quite a while along with my brother, but I just felt like I had to continue to pour into myself to make myself better, to make the people around me better. And so I've done, the self-help books and the leadership conferences and all that stuff. And it's great. But I mean, you go and you're all pumped up and you come out of there with a list of notes 2 miles long and you're ready to hit the ground running. And 2 weeks later, you get busy doing your day-to-day stuff and you forget about it. But this Choose to Win book has been a game changer for me. And I don't know if you guys saw that, but I posted it on my personal Instagram page a few days ago. And that book has really shook me to the core, not in a bad way, but it focuses on 7 different areas of your life, and it gets you to change one bad habit and replace it with a good habit. And it sounds so simple, but it's tough, especially when you pick a bad habit that maybe you don't like about yourself or something that you want to stop doing. It's challenging, but I tell you what, it has really opened my eyes to bettering myself and, my self-talk. What am I putting into my head every day? If I've watched the news for too long, I feel like going and jumping off a cliff. And so I turn out the news. I'm not an ostrich by any means, but I mean, I only look on my news feed a couple times a day just to see the major stuff that's happening in the country. And then I get back to being me. And this book Choose to Win, I guess that's my parting shot. If anybody's feeling a little angst up about what's going on in the world right now, or you're just not happy with yourself, or you want to sharpen yourself, read it. I'm not on their payroll, I promise you that. It's a book that I only got introduced to a couple months ago, but taking a deep dive into it, and really, it really aligns well with my personality. I'm somebody that always wants to get better and keep going and cut off the dead limbs so that some more fruitful ones can grow. So that would be my parting shot for you guys today. If somebody's looking for a good read, Tom Ziegler, Choose to Win is not a bad place to start.
Excellent recommendation. I appreciate a great parting shot as well to throw in there, as somebody who normally, Monday through Friday is helping to support people achieve their dreams and putting in the plans and focusing on the work that's not always that easy work. I love to hear about stories and books like that and how people are using them to help improve themselves and to be better and to position themselves to achieve their success. A great parting shot. Chris, Robin, how about you? Any parting shots for this week's episode?
I'm going to take the easy route and just tell Chris, thank you for coming back on. Early on, Logan, you mentioned how did COVID and the whole pandemic affect HHA and HHA USA. But let's not all forget that we left ATA with some significant plans of getting together with this podcast and Chris and HHA USA in doing more podcasts to promote that cause and that organization and HHA sports as well. And COVID really got in the way of that for us. So I'm glad as we're starting out the other side, we'll put it that way. I don't know any other way to say it, that we've gotten a chance to do this call and connect with Chris again. And, you know, frankly, I'm proud to be able to say I'm in some way, shape, or form affiliated with HHA. I'm not sponsored by them or anything like that, but just this connection that we have and these podcasts we've done have been fantastic. And I'm looking forward to getting on track and doing what little bit we can to help you promote not just HHA sports, but HHA USA as well, Chris.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, I know we did talk about other podcasts, and the three of us could talk about this off air, but when we got into that conversation earlier about promoting the sport of archery, I've got two groups that we're partnered with that I think are just absolutely fascinating. And there's really nobody doing anything like they're doing in our sport. And the three of us will have a conversation about them. I'll send you guys links to their websites and talk to you more at length about what they're doing. But I mean, I knowing you guys the way that I do, I think it's going to be a slam dunk. You're going to be like, yeah, we want to have those folks on the podcast and talk about what they're doing. Because if you want to keep the train and the momentum going down the tracks about archery and different ways to get people into it, these two groups are hitting it out of the park, and I'm hitching my train to them as long as they want to be on mine.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I feel like this podcast is kind of my ability that falls within the things that I enjoy and my natural talents to be able to help support wonderful organizations and companies and also give back to the world of archery as well. So whatever you might need from us on our end, again, the connections, I think that my favorite part of getting involved in the archery industry has been the connections to the amazing people and how we can find these opportunities to come together and help each other out. So I appreciate as much as, you know, we've talked about HHA USA and everything, you helped us as much with the content for the listeners that we have and anything that we can do to share with them what we're passionate about and the groups that are helping to support each other and doing what we feel are the right things and great representatives for the sport. I mean, I don't think that can be done enough. So again, my parting shot is also just thank you for your time. Thank you for your friendship, for being willing to share your story with us and share your organization and why that's so important to you. Would also remind everybody, if you want to go take a look, HHAUSA.org. There is a giant green donate box at the top right-hand corner of the page. So really easy if you want to get involved, or you're just looking for one of the events, or maybe you want to provide your business or send your business to those who sponsor that. All that information can be found online at HHAUSA.org. And while you're at it, you might as well go check out HHA Sports and also Hotshot's website. Robin, where can they find information? Because I always get our email address wrong and everything else wrong. So I'm just going to start leaving this to you at the end of the show. Where can they find us online and on social media?
Social media, to search Hotshot Archery. Our website is hotshotmfg.com. And if you want to contact us specifically, Logan is the one that checks it. So you can bug Logan at podcast@hotshotmanufacturing.com.
Yeah, so let us know again if you are interested in getting connected with Chris or with Operation HHA USA. Reach out, let us know. We've sent plenty of information there. We'll also make sure that this gets put in the notes for the podcast. Again, one last time, Chris, just thank you so much for your time and your attention today.
No, thank you guys. And there, I heard a rumor around the office that there might be some new HHA sports apparel coming out in July. So your listeners might be interested in that too. So I'll put my plug in as a salesman today. I'm not trying to sell product, but we're coming out with some new apparel here in another month or so. I think people will be pretty fired up about.
Awesome. So keep an eye out online. I'm sure you can also follow along. Again, search HHA Sports or HHA USA. Just don't do an or, do an and follow along with both of those pages on Instagram. You can find them on Facebook as well. And again, if you're in a position to support, please do so and know that it is making a world of difference and really making a meaningful impact in so many people's lives. So thank you all for your time this week, and we will talk again here in a couple weeks.